Welcome to From Beneath the Hollywood Sign. If you love old movies, Hollywood history, or the golden age of filmmaking, you've come to the right place. This is the podcast that talks about amazing stories of Tinseltown from another era and fascinating conversations with writer-producer Steve Kubine and actress-writer Nan McNamara.
So, Steve, did Ava Gardner and Howard Hughes have a good relationship?
Well, they did, until he dislocated her jaw.
What?
Well, don't worry. She hit him back with an ashtray.
From Beneath the Hollywood Sign is the gin joint for you.
Hi, I'm Neil.
And I'm Ken.
And we are from The Triviality Podcast, a pub trivia-style game show where a lack of seriousness meets a little bit of knowledge.
Join us each week for an hour-long game of general knowledge trivia featuring special guests from around the world, plus tons of extra themed episodes.
If you want to improve your trivia game,
or you just want to scream at us in your car when we get easy questions wrong,
then we're the show for you. Find Triviality on all your favorite podcast apps.
But you know that, because you're already listening to a podcast.
Hello, I am Anderson Cowan, and I've got a movie to make, and this is Loaded for Bear. Let's make this movie. Week 12 of 36 weeks, which means that we are at, let me do the math, we're the third of the way through this feed.
It sure doesn't feel like it.
It doesn't to you, because this is number one for you. So that voice you hear, most of you probably know, the one, the only, Mike Carano. I can't believe that it's taken a third of this feed. 11 weeks came before you, Mike, that I was doing this on my own. Before I had my co-director on.
I had no idea you were doing this.
Yeah, we don't share a lot. We don't. Oh, no,
we share personal stuff. We don't share professional stuff.
You might not have known that I do this like weekly feed. I don't know if you know this.
I did not know that.
Yeah, see? So that was, there's some truth in that. So,
and I'm sorry about that. I'm not more caught up.
I don't know how to do this. Like, do I explain who Mike is? Do I give you like a proper intro? I guess Mike is one of my dearest, closest friends. I love this man. I would do anything for this guy. And I can't say that about many, many people. And we've been working together for years, and he officiated my wedding. He's that kind of, you know, that was 10 years ago before, over 10 years ago before I even, you know, knew you obviously as well as I do now. And we go way back, and he's one of the most talented, gifted people.
Could have gone either way, right? The whole thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, 20 years ago when I first met you, I absolutely despised you. And then there's 10 years where we didn't see each other, and then I found you again. It's a fun story how we became. You realize I just called you out of the blue, and you didn't even know who I was, really. I'd met you once, and I said, we're going to be friends. And I started talking to you, and you started talking my ear off, and I started talking your ear off.
I don't remember any of this.
I just called you up.
I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, it's all right.
I had a better recollection of how my life went.
We have a mutual friend.
It sounds pretty exciting.
We have a mutual friend, Mickey, Milan Janison, mm-hmm. who is my DP and co-producer on Groupers. And he was friends with Mike for many years, and he was always pushing Mike on me. He's like, you will really get along with Mike. I'm like, no, Mickey, don't tell me who I get along with. Just leave me alone. And then I met you once on a movie set.
Yeah, that seems very conflict.
Driven?
Possibility.
Oh, with you and
I don't know what the word is, but it seems like there's a very good possibility for.
Yeah.
And then that's the guy. The guy who robbed me is the guy you told me to.
Well, it was that. At first, it was that, because he was talking about that when I was producing his student film when we were in, mm-hmm. in film school, like in the year 2000. And then you were like on the call sheet, and I had to like make sure everyone knew where to be and whatnot, and you were not responding. And I'm like, who is this Mike Carano guy? He's not in our class. Like, he's annoying because he doesn't respond. Then you finally did show. You showed up one day. It was like a 3-day shoot or something. You showed up one day, hit on my girlfriend, gave her a toy, and then left. And I'm like, I hate this guy. And I never saw you again.
Someday that guy will be marrying my beautiful wife and I.
For like 10 years, I didn't see you. And Mickey, during that entire 10 years, every like few months, he'd bring you up and be like, dude, you got to watch this 5 minutes with Mike. You'd love it. I think you'd really like him. And Jillian and I finally said, all right, Mickey, this is like 2008, 2009. I said, all right, Mickey, I'll watch the goddamn thing if you'll stop telling me to watch it. So I watched the very first one, and Jillian watched it with me. And then we said, we should watch another one. And then we sat there and watched like 20 of them. And then I called Mickey up and I said, all right, you're right. I just spent 2.5 hours watching Mike be Mike Carano. I've never met anyone or seen anyone like this guy. Can I have his phone number? And he said, yeah. And I went downstairs, took the elevator downstairs. We were living in an apartment, and I was in the parking garage. And I remember just calling you up and going like, I don't know how this is going to go, but I just want to call this guy and tell him that I really like what he does. And we talked for like half hour, maybe an hour.
Wow.
And now here we are.
Wow.
Co-directing a movie. So
I randomly called somebody today that I haven't talked to in probably 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked for an hour. It was odd.
Did we talk or did you talk?
I did a lot of talking.
I might be one of the only people you know that can talk almost as much as you. I do.
I know this is not what this show is about, but I gave that a lot of thought today. I thought about how frustrating it is that I am surrounded, and I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about some I'm talking about another group of people.
No, I know you.
That don't listen and just want to talk.
Right.
And how frustrating
it is. I hear that from you a lot.
That there's never an opportunity to get into a story that's not time limited to and related to one thing.
Right.
Because I always want to go like, you're not going to believe what happened the other night. And I go, there's no opportunity for this. Period.
Yeah, that's not the right group of friends for you. I think.
Well, I don't know who wants to sit and listen to someone just tell stories, because I've already been through this a million times, and I just did it on 4th of July. Just talk.
Let's talk about
Let's
project.
Do it. Let's talk about this.
I was fairly confident because I made you my co-director before. You didn't like come to me. You had very little to do with being the co-director. I just kind of stated, Mike, you're my co-director in this. You didn't have any exposure to the subjects that we're going to be, that we are documenting.
I'm still concerned that I'm not pulling my weight, and it's
No, stop it. Would you stop? That's so stereotypical, Mike, and I don't want to go down that road about hearing about how you're not pulling your weight when you absolutely are. So I'd say about 2 months ago now, Mike started coming to the classes and documenting them, and I was very encouraged to see that he's...
I've been saying I was going to come for longer than that, but I...
You came once in February to take some stills for me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was the first time.
Oh, yeah, that was the first time.
But I had already told you that you're going to be co-directing this with
okay,
me.
Okay.
And we both worked on documentaries before. Mike's working on his own documentary, and Mike's great. We know what we're doing, so it made sense, and I didn't want to be directing something that I was this close to solely. I knew I wanted an outside vision from somebody other than just me. I didn't want it to be just me with the ideas and whatnot. I'm still not 100% sure that we're going to
work. Watch the footage and it's just 4 hours of hot mom sitting in a corner. I'm like, what? This is part of the story, Anderson.
I could see like a scenario where we do kind of butt heads on things, but I think that'll be good if that does happen, because that means we're both very invested and we have an idea. But I don't think it'll be ugly at all.
I don't think so either.
I have worked with you on sets for other people's movies where we've teamed up, and like La Lucha, I was, you know, one of the camera guys, like third, fourth camera. You were the lead camera guys.
Yeah, we did.
And I was producing that, and you did a lot of ignoring me on that, but that was okay.
I did.
I mean, I'd be like, we should be over here, and then you would just go the other way. But
I swore to you, that's not intentional. I wasn't going like far.
You were focused, and you were sick. I think it was when we were in Columbus, but. I'm doing a whole lot of talking here. I want to get like your take on, because I don't know what your level of exposure to this intellectually developmentally.
It was pretty limited, pretty zero up until this. And
we're talking mentally challenged adults, which are intellectually developed individuals.
Yeah, and the initial experience was something I probably won't forget. But then again, I forgot meeting you, so ask me like in 5 years, I'll be like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
So tell me what it was.
You asked me to come by and shoot some stills, and I show up down at the church. I park. I walk up those stairs. I open the door, and I see this very large room with a stage at the end. In front of the stage is a woman, an elderly woman who's clearly leading the class, she's not being soft. She's like, this is what actors do. This is how we're doing this. And she was telling
them. She's treating them like normal adults, which is what they deserve.
That's
and
what
they don't get
to.
It very often. And they get talked to like children a lot. I don't like to talk to children like children. So
I
can't stand it when I see adults getting talked, even if they are developmentally delayed.
Yeah. So all of these students had their backs to me. I knew they were going to be mentally challenged people. I already knew that, like, going in. And I don't know, there are 10, 15, 16, 20 people there. It doesn't matter, because one guy turned around, saw me, got up, walked over, gave me like a little gentle hug, then went back and sat down. And I was like, oh, Anderson told him. Mm-hmm. My friend's going to walk in. Everyone go say hi to him. Then another guy noticed the commotion from him getting up, looked over, got up, walked over.
In the middle of class, by the way.
Gave me a fist bump, went and sat back down. No words were exchanged.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm walking in with my camera and stuff. And then a third person gets up, walks over, gave me a handshake, went back, sat down. I was like, Anderson, absolutely. But I think by the third person, I was not choked up necessarily, but I absolutely was like, oh no, like this is going to be crushing.
Right. You were emotionally invested, and I did not tell anyone to go up. And that's just, it's a very welcoming community. Yeah. And what's funny you say that, because I didn't get that. I mean, it took probably 3-4 weeks for me to really some of the guys and girls.
Well, what's funny is,
but for the most part, they didn't give me that until 3-4 weeks in. I had to earn their trust because I think the tattoos, the way I look, you know what I mean?
Yeah. They probably sense your evilness.
I think the people that look like me have bullied them in the past. Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah. So they're a little and like I'll laugh because they'll say something funny and then they kind of give me like a side eye. Like, are you laughing at, this is early on, are you laughing at me or with me right now? I'd get a couple like non-trusting looks like that, and it took a while to get them to, which is another reason why I would like you to be in there.
Ironically, or maybe that I didn't use that word properly, but so two ex-girlfriends came to watch it.
Oh, the show that
Miranda came to the show.
Covered. Yeah.
Sarah came to one of the. Did she come to the show too?
Sarah, no.
Sarah came to something.
Did she?
Maybe she just came to
Who's
a class.
Sarah? Oh, yeah, Sarah, of course.
But Sarah came to
the
class.
She came to
and I had told both of them about that first experience, and they both got a taste of it.
Yeah.
Because Sarah very goes, welcome. I was standing over by your cameras, and I saw the girl lift her head up and make eye contact with me and push through the crowd to get to me and just gave me a hug and went and sat back down.
I don't need to go on and on about how much I love this population because I've done that plenty of times on this show and various shows. I'm very excited to be in a position, which we both are, to help show people what you're talking about and what you
I invited a third ex-girlfriend tomorrow.
Cool. And then hopefully people will see the footage that we're shooting and putting together. So tomorrow we've been...
Now I got to find I got to track down the last two ex-girlfriends.
We've been
see if they can somehow.
You only
get
have
to
four
LA.
Total in your
five,
life.
Five,
oh, five girlfriends.
Yeah, in my
five
life.
Serious ones.
Yeah,
yeah. You've had like the week long girlfriend, right?
No,
no, never.
Not really,
no. Really. What about the one night stand? But that's not the show. What are we talking about? One night stand, but you feel bad. You don't want her to think it's a one night stand, so you keep in touch for.
That's a possibility.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, like that was like 3 weeks.
So
and then even though she had a boyfriend, I thought she was cheating on me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're not doing that, or we're not doing this. We're talking about Lotus.
It's a long time ago.
So. Tomorrow is our first real interview. I shot camera tests and did some quick form interviews.
I have something to say about that too.
Probably a year and a half ago or so. But tomorrow we're doing our first one with Mike. We're going to have a couple camera system and do it right.
I don't want to say I watched videos. Let's just say I had them on for the audio. I drove to San Diego at 6 o'clock this morning.
Oh, Jesus.
And on the way
we're
back.
We're in LA. We're recording this
I was
in LA.
Watching. I was trying to figure out why I'm not getting. I was trying to figure some stuff out on the camera. And I'm only telling you this on the show because this is related to the movie, but if we're going to shoot the vlog and stuff, a lot of people recommend that we overexpose by a whole stop.
A whole stop?
And I'm underexposing by one or two stops.
All right, well.
And not to use the monitor at all.
I'm careful only of listening to these experts, though, because a lot of the time I'll follow and then I don't use the same method, so. Why over? Do they explain why?
You
more
he
range?
Said you're not losing the highlights, but when you blow out the blacks, you're really screwed.
All right.
And.
Yeah, I don't want that. I don't want noisy blacks. I hate those milky blacks.
Yeah, it's not even noisy. Once they go to black, they're black.
But if we'll talk about
it.
But we're getting so we spent
What I really did was watch video after video of how to use the scope on the camera to properly read it, because I just go, it's in the middle, that's cool, which is true, but there's a horizontal one too that you can't go above or below.
This is all very boring.
Do you want to keep it two or three? This is about the movie. You want to keep it like two or three whatever's.
Yeah.
I'm explaining something that I have no idea how to explain or that I know nothing about. There's a horizontal thing on the screen. You want to keep it below or above this other thing. I don't know.
What we've been doing, I forgot to say, loadedforbeardoc.com is where you go if you'd like to know more about what we're doing and see the budget and the pitch deck and some pictures and all that stuff. Loadedforbeardoc.com if you want to become involved or just be aware or you know somebody else who might like to be involved. So I've not looked at the contribution page in a couple days, so I will say any new updates for anyone who's given recently next week. But tomorrow's big day because we're finally doing, we've done a whole lot of getting Mike acclimated, shooting a ton of B-roll.
Yeah.
I'm very confident that you know, much of what there's plenty that we've shot so far that's going to be in the finished project. Very confident at that, just from what I've seen and the things that I've strung together. And I just wanted to maybe, how do you envision this?
I'm keeping an open mind and taking seriously what people have told me in the past, which is just shoot something and it'll come together. The story will present itself, and I believe that's the case here.
My concern with this is there's going to be just way too many storylines and subplots or subjects and to cram into 90 minutes to 2 hours.
Like, wow. Well, that's positive thinking because but you know, I really believe tomorrow we're going to have a much better idea. Like, once we get that interview, I think we're going to go, oh. Unless it's just
boring.
We're
interviewing the lady that created the Born to Act players, and this is her 30th year doing it.
Yeah.
And
but truthfully, I can't wait to start interviewing some of the students, because I think that's when it could get interesting.
It's going to be great, yeah. And some of the students we have to do with their parents. I want to interview the parents as well. I'm thinking about maybe doing an interview with like maybe 10 of the parents at once. Kind of like stacked like on the stage or something, but that'd be a nightmare with mics. But we'll figure that out.
We'd have to boom it,
or we could boom it. Yeah. But all right. Well, that's pretty much where we're at. I don't know if you have it. How many subjects do you think we're planning on interviewing here? Because I have a number in my head.
I, off the top of my head, positively I can think of four, but I know it's going to be more than that. But positively I can think of four. And one of them is actually a parent, but
I'm talking parents, assistants, Mary, and the students.
Well, I'm the students. There's three for sure that I am looking forward to sitting down and pointing a camera at and hearing what goes on in their head when they're asked questions.
Yeah.
And is it going to be all discombobulated, or is it like if we only were to interview Spencer?
Yeah.
Like that sounds like that could be.
I don't know if we'll be able to interview Spencer.
I don't know about that either.
We can with his mom.
But of course, you know, some of the women instructors are really like lively and enthusiastic.
Yeah, the assistants are great. The assistants are great. Brock is great. Yeah, there's so many great subjects. So I'm thinking in my head, I have a rough estimate and I have a list, which I should probably share with you sooner than later. But 25 to 30 subjects will be interviewed.
Good.
By the time that you know,
I didn't mean we're only going to interview four, but there's four that I'm
four
like
that you've targeted.
Like, this is going to be a good one.
I have lists.
And tomorrow, by the way, I think it's going to be fine and great. But she's not on the list of my four that I'm looking forward to the most. Like
we're interviewing the woman who created the whole thing.
I think she might just be fantastic because she's full of energy and.
No, it'll be great, and we're going to interview her probably three or four times. So
yeah, that's what I thought. Cool. But I mean, the people I'm really looking forward to, like I want to hear what some of those kids have to say, and I also want to know like who the instructors, like why are you here?
Yeah, most and here's the last thing before we finish this guy up. What's interesting about the class and my relationships with the students and the parents and Mary is I had breakfast with Mary and her son Casey earlier this week, and that's the third time I've gone out with them for breakfast just to actually talk to them, because there's no time to
Who
talk
pays?
I paid two of the times because I call them in one time because I only drink coffee. One time she insisted I'm paying, but no, it's she's great. I can't say enough great things about Mary, and you guys will all see Mary's, and like Mike said, I think the most impressive thing about Mary is the way that she is able to use tough love without ever sounding like she's coming down.
She hits them, but
in a really, really like pro positive way, but without kid gloves. It's really impressive. Yeah. And I don't have that in my repertoire. I don't know how to do that with anyone, my son, with kids. I'm working on it. I'm always trying to get better, but I've never seen anyone do it so eloquently.
I get it, because there's times like when she does the word thing, she goes, "What's your word?" And someone says like 20 words. And
it's not
Atticus. 20 words. It's one word. It's one word.
Atticus, cause 7 or 8 words.
Yeah. I did, when you weren't there, I did a whole string of words.
Did you?
She goes, "What's your word?" And I went, "I don't listen very well. What was the question?" And I just,
did it get a laugh?
The girl that I like was like, "What?" Like,
Rosella.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I want out of this that I didn't think was even in the cards? I want that feeling of me walking in there, not knowing what to expect, and no expectations whatsoever. I just went, okay, Anderson wants me to take some pictures of these kids. I'll come and take some pictures of these kids. I didn't know I was going to feel that weird, like, love, like that.
That's the challenge.
I didn't know I was going to feel like, oh, man, am I lucky in life and feel grateful. I really did feel it.
Oh, because you aren't afflicted? Is that what you're suggesting?
I don't know if it's that simple.
Because I think they're way happier than you are, Mike, and I think they have a better existence than you do. God. Honestly.
Make them look like that.
I thought you were saying, like, just how much, like,
grateful.
Like, how much love is in
grateful.
That room.
Like,
I love it so much, Mike.
It was inspiring to see.
I go to a church. My skin burns every time I walk up those stairs.
I know. I've been drinking the holy water.
I'm in a church every week, which is unbelievable.
Yeah. What I'm saying is I the feeling, it was not like, oh, thank God I'm not them.
You're
kind of like, oh my God, there's so much like people want to be like loved and liked and stuff no matter what. And it was kind of like this really cool opening, like heart opening feeling.
That is exactly, they're just so honest and they can't help but be so honest with Yeah. Most all of them wear their hearts on their sleeves and are into what they're into and are not trying to dupe people or try to be something that they're not.
That which might be it exactly, but that wasn't the initial, because I had no idea when I walked in the door. But I will say that, it's not the feeling of if I were to walk in a room and 40 kittens ran over to me and cuddled around me.
No.
That'd be a nice feeling, but this was like a this was like, oh, wow.
It's like it's a human spirit, right?
Yeah.
And it's like a connection that's...
Well, I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know if they were aware. I didn't know if they were self-aware. I didn't know if there's ego involved.
You have different functioning levels. This group tends to have fairly high functioning members because, they're performing and they're so what I was starting to say earlier is like it's what's funny about the class is you spend 2 hours minimum with them each week but I get to know them through working with like the class and the assistants and Mary and the students, but there's really no time to like catch up or like, where are you from, what do you do for work. We're going to figure all that out in the interviews and the parents I barely talk to at all. I know every student's name. There's probably 40-50 of them that I know all of their names. I maybe know three parents' names, so it's one of those things, kind of like this.
I know you're making me feel bad because I was like, at least you know all their names, because I'm just like,
you'll get to know their names. Yeah. I mean, you're still kind of I've been going.
I have something to tell you after this recording's off too about one of the parents.
Oh, jeez, come on,
it's not bad.
Okay, good. It's good.
I mean, it's just what it is, but it's not for this.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Hopefully you guys heard a little something in there that was, I guess Mike was talking and trying to talk about filmmaking, but I shut him down because I thought it was boring technical stuff. But here we are a third of the way through. My goodness.
I cannot believe it's really a third of the way through.
I know, because we still got 5.5 months before this feed is over. And, I got levels in my head of where we should be by the end of the year. And I want to be to a place where we have the smallest version of this in the can, but my vision or my idea is a bigger version with more to come after this year, and that involves the narrative feature and getting them actual jobs.
Alrighty, thanks for having me on this.
So hopefully we will end on that note, but we'll at the very least end on this documentary, this version of it being shot. All right, thank you very much for following along. Thanks for listening. I will be talking at you guys next week and talking about how the interview. Hopefully interviews went. All right, bye.